Welcome to the Advance Your Art podcast, where we talk about the journey from artist to entrepreneur and everything in between. You've worked hard to hone your craft. Now take it to the next level with tips, techniques, strategies, and routines used by successful artists to grow their businesses and careers. Now, let's get started and have some fun with your host, Yuri Cataldo.
Hello, Michelle. Welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you again for joining me. This is fantastic. So I would like to start off with a basic question of how it is that you describe what it is that you do.
Well, survival jobs for actors actually came out of a personal need. In town, I had just gotten back in town after a gig, and I was like sitting on the floor of AEA looking for temp agency recommendations, and I was just like looking for ideas for survival jobs. So I went home and Googled around. I couldn't find anything, and so I thought there has to be a resource out there for to help actors find survival jobs, and since there wasn't, I created Survival Jobs for Actors.
Yeah, that's great. I love it when people have this itching need and then suddenly decide to just, since they can't find it, just to create it themselves. That's amazing.
And like, hopefully I'm like out there, like hoping I want to impart all the knowledge that I've learned over the past 8 years. And like, I just want to like infuse that in every single actor and artist to empower them basically.
Sure. No, because I think it's wonderful. I always wish that I could have found additional jobs to do when I was, you know, was only working in the arts, because it's difficult jumping from freelance gig to freelance gig, and especially when you're just starting out, because you don't know when the next job is coming.
And it's so true. You know, it's not like a 9-to-5 when it's like, okay, in 3 years I'm going to be an associate vice president, and then I can be a vice president, and then I can be CEO. Like, there is no set career path. And I think having the flexibility that financial stability gives you, and financial stability gives you options. Mm-hmm. And I think there's just something that is so overlooked in training. I know a lot of training programs, they teach the acting and the singing and the dancing. I come from a musical theater background, so I'm going to talk, you know, in those terms. But I really don't think sometimes our training, it misses the business side of it, and it misses the financial side of it, and it misses the real life side of it. So I think that that's such a valuable part of being an artist. So I want to be there to support that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so true. I agree. Why is it, do you think, that universities and conservatories miss this so critical part? Because I had the same, like, I have the same complaint with my universities, and I went to three different ones and studied mm-hmm. art and theater, and, you know, one of which was so a couple of more prestigious ones, and never one time did I ever get any advice on how to actually get jobs, and then with that, like, how to handle money, how to deal with all that. The only advice I ever received was in grad school, and the head of the program, Ming Cho Lee, said, oh, don't worry about that, Yuri. You'll hire an agent, and they'll take care of that for you.
You're kidding me.
No, that's the only business advice I ever received.
Oh.
And it's terrible advice.
And, you know, I had an amazing college experience, and I do not want to degrade my college at all. Like, literally, I had a wonderful college experience. And it's funny, now they do. They have business courses, mm-hmm. and I'm so proud of that. and you know, I don't know, you know, they want to get you out there and get you the training and have the job. And, you know, I think colleges are getting more wise to it now. Mm-hmm. And training programs are, and yes, they want to train you, and they want to say, you know, they've got XYZ teachers who have these credits. And that is important, because I feel like that's what parents look at going into it, and maybe that's what gets people into their programs, you know, their alumni success. But there is the real world aspect of it, And it's funny, you know, being a soprano, right? My ideal, my entire life was Christine in Phantom of the Opera, right?
Oh, of course.
So I was working my, it's so cliche. I was working my job. It was actually the first job that I went full time. So I was performing, and really the monotony of the 8-show-a-week thing really got to me. Mm-hmm. And I was in Denver doing my favorite show in the entire world, White Christmas. And I had this beautiful apartment in downtown Denver, one of my favorite cities. Like, it was the ideal job for me, and I still wasn't happy. Oh. And I was sitting there, and I'm like, Michelle, if you're not happy now, like, what else do you want, lady? Like, and so I had temped during, you know, when I was still acting, and I kind of thought about going into the business world, and so I made my first plunge. So my first plunge, I did attempt a perm job, mm-hmm. and one of the ladies who came in, they hired another temp because they love to temp to perm because they want to try before they buy, right? Mm-hmm. And she had just got off doing Christine in Phantom of the Opera on Broadway.
Wow.
And I'm like, Michelle, you are working. You are the senior, you know, you are the senior temp or the senior. I guess I was hired by them that time.
Yeah.
But guess what? She was Christine in Phantom of the Opera, and she is right in your situation. She was going to me for advice on the office world and temping. And I'm like I don't think people understand, and maybe I didn't understand this. Like, when you're on Broadway, that's not a card for the rest of your life to work. Mm-hmm. Like, the acting and the artist world is kind of a gigging economy. Like, you're on a gig for, you know, 2, 3, 4, 6 months. And yes, there was a guy in Phantom of the Opera for 10 years, but like, you know, lead contracts, principal contracts are like 6 months. Mm-hmm. So everyone eventually kind of is in the same boat. When your job is over, you're in that line to audition, and what are you going to do? And that paycheck's not coming in. So mm-hmm. I just think it's such a crucial part of the business that is not really talked about or not really stressed. And I want to be there to support people. So,
yeah, that's very important. That's an interesting thing to bring up, too, because I think so many people, when they hear of actors and maybe they don't really realize how little Broadway actors get paid. But when we think of actors, we think of the very few tip-top, the Brad Pitts and George mm-hmm. Clooney's of the world,
right.
who are like that top 1% who do have the big paychecks.
Right.
And everyone else doesn't get that. Like, the rest of the actors down the line don't – their salary is not anywhere near that. So.
And I mean, yeah, like, God bless it. If that's you, like, awesome. Like, yeah. Go – you know, like, do – and I don't want to crush dreams, right? Like, I don't want to say, like, you got to, like, think reasonably. Like, I don't want to be that parent in the background, right? Like, you got to get a real job. Like, I want to stay away from that. But, like, you know, how do you strike that healthy balance between, like, reality and dreams, right?
Yeah, of course. So let's talk about you from the beginning. So clearly you went to school for acting, but let's talk about your other school days. So did you just study acting when you were in college, or were you kind of thinking ahead as well?
Well, I was going to go to school for marketing my entire life. I actually had my little plan. I was going to go to Miami of Ohio as a marketing major. And my aunt actually just looked at Ohio Northern for her daughters. So she was like, oh, I looked at this school. It's really great. It's got a good musical theater program. Come on up and try it. So I went up and I auditioned for it, and it had amazing personal attention. Like, 5 people were in the audition, and I spoke with the program people, and I loved the campus. I loved the one-on-one and the personal attention and atmosphere. So I decided, and I just remember sitting there in this flowered chair that I was in my living room, right? And my dad's sitting right next to me. And I'm like, Dad, what do I do? Do I go to school for marketing, or do I go to school for musical theater? And my parents, like, I don't know how they trusted this 18-year-old with one of the biggest decisions of her lives, but they did. And I thought, you know, I can always go into business later. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to do musical theater, like I said, like, I know my type. Like, I'm a soprano ensemble. Like, I can kick my face and sing a high C. Like, if I'm going to work, I'm going to work now, you know, like, mm-hmm. work in my 20s. And And that's what I did. So I went to Ohio Northern University. I got a BFA in Communication Arts, was my official degree. It was a concentration in musical theater, a minor in dance, and then I got a business option, which is like their version of a minor, because I knew I wanted to have that background as well. So that's what I graduated with.
Wow. I honestly wish that I had that foresight back then when I was an undergrad to go, oh, yeah, also, I probably should do this too.
But I still went to the city and I didn't work or survival. So, like, I didn't even, like, that's why. So, okay, so let's flash forward. So I graduated from school and I drove across my state and I auditioned for this Carousel Dinner Theater. Mm-hmm. And they thought I was a local. This is a funny story. So they thought I was a local. And they said, okay, well, we want to offer you the jobs, $245 a week. And you're local, so you have your own housing, right? Because these places, they have a certain amount of equity gigs or equity contracts that they bring in people from the city. And then they fill their ensemble with non-equity, right? So I said, well, no, actually, I just graduated and I will need housing. And she said, okay, well, all right, never mind then. And she goes to hang up the phone. I said, well, wait. I said, if I get my own housing, can I have the job? And she thought about it. And she was like, yeah, I guess so. So there was an extended stay suites like down the road from this theater. It was $255 a week. So I actually was out $10 a week. Oh, I think it was like five. It was $250. So I was out $5 a week just to get the job. So I've never had that much gumshoe in my life. Like, I wish I still had that fire. But and working that job, one of the equity actors had her roommate just got the tour of Lion King, so she had a sublet. And then after that job ended, I packed up two suitcases and got on a plane and moved to the city.
Wow. So you fresh off of the finishing that last gig, you just jumped right into New York.
Yeah, and you know, stupid me, and this is why I'm doing this. So I didn't know any better. Like, literally in college, I asked somebody when I looked at a backstage listing that said, like, submit your PNR. Like, I had to ask her what picture and resume meant. Like, I didn't know PNR meant. Like, that's how, like, green I was, right? So I go to the city, and I just, for dinner, I would go to the bodega down the street. I would get, like, chips and salsa and read my little backstage, right? Like, I didn't know any better. And I moved to the city. I was incredibly fortunate with some savings. And I blew through the entire thing because I didn't even know survival jobs existed. And I didn't know how to get one. I didn't know a thing about them. And I so want to prevent someone else from doing that. So please, if you're listening to this, like, don't blow through your savings. Like, whenever you have any sort of downtime, like, work your buns off and, like, get some cash stored up. So that's why I'm doing this. Literally, that motivates me. Like, I don't want someone to make the same mistakes that I did. So that's why I'm here.
No, I think that's wonderful. I made this very similar mistakes going up. I didn't have the exact same kind of experience you did, but right after undergrad, I got a position. It was a 1-year specialized internship at Juilliard. So then I moved everything to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And Juilliard didn't pay – well, they paid something.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really enough to survive in New York City, which is
– yeah, I know.
So they're attracting people like me who are like, yes, I want to go, and it's Juilliard, and it's amazing. Yeah. And like, we'll give you like $100 a week. Also, you have to figure out your own housing and everything else.
Wow. I know.
Yeah, which is
you want to be able to have those opportunities. Like, but what kind of was it an amazing opportunity? I can't even imagine.
It was studying at Juilliard was amazing. I was there the same time Oscar Isaac was and Rutina Wisley. I got to hang out with him and a few other people, and it was an amazing experience. And I did end up getting jobs down the line. Now, I don't do design full time, but I do it on occasion, and I'm the resident costume designer for Harvard Dance Program.
Nice.
Because the person who runs it, her name is Jill. I worked with her when she did a William Forsythe piece at Juilliard. And then 10 years later, we meet up again in Boston. She's like, I need someone to design costumes for me. Come wow. hang out with us.
That's awesome. I mean, yeah. that's something you bring up a really good point. So you never know those experiences, you know, it's Juilliard, but it paid you $100 a week, right?
Right.
So, but 10 years later, the connections that you've made are so crucial and so important because you don't know. My first tour, my first job in the city was non-equity tour, Kiss Me Kate. Mm-hmm. And like years down the road, one of the guys that I was on that bus with, like for 10 hours a day, ended up like dating my agent. So,
oh, wow.
And it's like, let's go back and see if I was like a diva. Was I nice? Was I hard to work with? Like people remember things and you never know who somebody's going to be in 10 years. Yeah. I mean, that's not, you know, you shouldn't do it just to be nice for connections, but like you should just be a nice human being, period. But like at the same time, like watch yourself because you need, like everyone's in this together. Everyone starts somewhere. So like, you know, be a good person, be a good human, and you know, your connections, you never know where people will be in 10 years.
Oh yeah, it's definitely. I think there's that, what's that quote? It's like, be wary of who you're mean to, because the same people that you meet up on the way up are the same people you'll meet on the way down, or something like
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's that, you know, it's that same thing, is if you're at least a decent person to people, they'll remember that, or they'll remember you. And if you're really, really rude to people, they'll also remember that too.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's so important to be able to take those opportunities. But, you know, at the same time, you can't live off ramen for 3 months. Like, so you got to figure it out.
Exactly. So while you were, partially through this, you decided that you wanted to focus more on your side job or survival gig.
Yeah.
When you decided to create then this site for survival jobs for actors,
mm-hmm.
were there people that you reached out to help you create it? Were there books you read? Like, how did you take idea to actually doing it?
I knew absolutely nothing. My dad was really into self-help. So he got me into the Brian Tracy, Bob Proctor, Jim Rohn. And so I, you know, thought I could do anything, right? Because we think we can do anything. So I never thought I couldn't do something. So I called up the good folks at GoDaddy and bought myself a website. And they helped me. I figured out what hosting was, and I figured out what I did a little HTML coding. I bought the big HTML for Dummies, and I've only read a couple pages, but I just kind of figured it out. I did read Vic Johnson had like this course on ebooks. That's mm-hmm. 2008, like when all this was starting, right? So it's like, ooh, there aren't going to be any libraries. There's just going to be ebooks. And I did eventually write like a, it's Kindle and paperback, but like a survival jobs guide, which is just basically listings and like temp tips. But I just kind of figured it out. And I love the quotes that are like, you know, you don't have to get it perfect. Just get started. Mm-hmm. Right. Like there, I feel like so many times it's like, oh, well, it's not perfect. And, you know, I could make it better and it's not pretty enough, or I need a professional designer to do this. No. Do you know how ugly the first version of Survival Jobs for Actors was? Like, it was so ugly, but I just wanted it to be a resource. So it started out as a resource site, right? Because I'm on the floor of AEA, like asking for like temp agency recommendations, and like someone gave me their friend's business card and like scribbled on the side of it like a name or an email. I mean, it's ridiculous. So I wanted a repository of everything. So one page had like New York temp agencies, and I just went through Google and like called a couple that I didn't know of. And then one page had like how to be a personal trainer. And then I researched like the different types of certifications that you needed to get. And I threw New York Sports Club and like Equinox, the links to their job sites on there. Mm-hmm. And then I figured that what we needed was actually job postings. So the site became a job board,
okay.
which I got job board software, and it kind of pulled in jobs from the real world, like Monster, and it's just so different. It really is. Like, you cannot, I mean, you know, I could pull in stuff that said like part-time or flexible hours, but it's not really what we needed. Like, I needed employers who actually wanted actors mm-hmm. and who needed those specific skills, right? Because we do. We have skills that translate, even though people might not realize that. So then I took it back to a resource. So as it stands now, it's a blog. It's a resource.
Okay.
And then, but we also had job postings. But the people who post literally contact me. They come to me directly. It's not like through a job board or anything.
Oh, wow.
Who definitely want actors and artists for flexible work. I just had one of my favorite temp agencies post. And then like some guy who just contacted me, he sells like a fruity health drink. So mm-hmm. he needs people to go to different vendors in New York and like set up the displays and create a relationship with the guys. And I mean, that's something that somebody can do on nights, weekends, when you don't have an audition. Like, you want to get to the point where your survival job is not dictating your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be able to do your art, do those auditions, be available for a last minute call at the drop of a hat. So you don't want your survival job to dictate. Yes, you want to have one, but you want to get to the ideal point where it doesn't dictate your schedule.
Mm-hmm. I find that a lot of artists particularly, and I knew this when I was younger, don't quite understand how their skills translate to jobs outside of theater. So mm-hmm. could you go in a little detail of, so particularly since you're focused on actors, so mm-hmm. particularly from what you've seen from actors as well as from the job market, what are some specific skills that actors have that the outside job market is looking for?
Now, okay, so this is one of the things that just blows my mind. I didn't even know this job existed, like promo work, right? Mm-hmm. So promotional materials. So the people who stand outside of Penn Station and hand out vitamin water samples. Oh. Hey, here's the new flavor. Here you go. Do you want to try this? Do you know the majority of Americans cannot look people in the eye and talk to strangers? Like, really? Like, something that we do, I mean, something we are trained to do mm-hmm. at stage doors, press junkets, in college, when you go in performances and perform alumni events, like stuff that we are trained to do all the time, majority of Americans are too self-conscious, or they just don't have the personality that they can just click and turn on to deal with the general public. That is such an asset that actors have. Actors, temp agencies love actors as receptionists. Same thing. Usually we keep ourselves pretty nice. We can look pretty scuzzy, but we can clean up pretty well too.
Right.
And, you know, we can put on a smile, handshake. Hi, welcome to ABC, you know, company. Nice to meet you. Who are you here to see today? Let me get you a cup of coffee. Like, you give us a script. We can, you tell us what to do. We can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, memorization of lines. If you're doing cold calls, if you're calling people for a survey, like the drink example, right? Like mm-hmm. that guy needs to go and create relationships with different companies or different stores. He can set up a pretty visual display. What are some other great skills? We are really, I feel like actors are overeducated, and I don't want to say overeducated.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
very well educated.
We are very well educated, and I don't think that people think that we're book smart, and that's a horrible, maybe it's because it's like the LA waiter actor stereotype, but
yeah, I think it definitely is.
Smart. Like, well, I know a lot of smart actors. Like, you give them an Excel spreadsheet and you teach them one thing, give them 10 minutes and they can whip that puppy in shape.
Oh,
I mean, really, and these are skills that we're not taught, but Microsoft Word has free training on their website. If you just go and look Word and Excel and Outlook and train yourself, like, we are pretty smart, and I think we're very willing to take on new tasks too.
Mm-hmm.
We're very willing and open. Oh, and the other thing is we understand punctuality. Mm-hmm. because would you ever walk into a rehearsal right when is it about to start?
No, like, no. Like, would not you, even as a designer, I hide. I'm like, nope, sorry, I missed it. I can't go in. I'm going to be shamed by everybody if I do that and get yelled at. Nope.
I mean, would you just walk in with your bag slung over your shoulder like, oh, hey, guys, it's like 9:01. What's up? No. And so, like, you get there, and I love this. They taught me this in college. They're like, if you're there 15 minutes early, that's on time. If you are 5 minutes early, you are late. And if you are on time, you are very late. like that, the punctuality and the dedication. We are a dedicated and a motivated bunch, y'all. So you give us a task and we will just get to it. You cannot teach drive. You cannot teach just motivation and drive. You can't teach certain skills. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a lot of skills that you can teach, but you cannot teach personality and you cannot teach drive. And that is something we have a lot of.
Mm-hmm. Mm, definitely. There's also, I read this study a couple years ago. It's that some of the, like, the number one things that a lot of CEOs wish they had in mm-hmm. their employees was like an entrepreneurial, or it could be like a freelancing type, like the ability just to want to push yourself above what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And the other thing was creative thinking and creative problem solving.
Nice.
Which is like actors, all artists have
all
this.
Artists.
Because they can teach you the technical skill of the job. Like, oh, you know, like you said, honey. They can teach you how to do an Excel sheet, but they can't teach you how to, you're right, you know, how to be creative, how to think mm-hmm. through things in a different kind of way than what you are taught if you have the reverse of it.
Mm-hmm. Critical thinking skills are very important and very overlooked, and it's something we definitely have. I mean, no one gives you a schedule, right? There's no, like, you need to be at class from 9 to 5 and you need to be here. You create your own schedule. We are the ultimate entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. We are the ultimate entrepreneur. So those skills are just so attractive.
Mm-hmm. Do you, and I know we've talked about this before, do you think there is a stigma associated with having a survival job if you are a professional actor? Because I'm, as I mentioned this to you before, it was like, as a growing up in my younger days as an artist and designer, I would have thought it was like suddenly me failing if I had to get a second job that wasn't within my craft. Do you think that's still a thing with actors particularly?
I mean, there's definitely, I don't want to say I like the word stigma. I was going to say there's like a shame with, I need a survival job. It's something that you need to hide or something that you should be ashamed. No, like you are being actually smart. It's the opposite. Like you're being smart about your life and your future. The hard part about it is when your survival job brings you down, when it takes you out of your career. And I think maybe that's where the stigma comes from. It's like, I was with my friend and so talented, and we were incredibly lucky. Both of us got called back for the summer stock gig, right? And for summer stock, the theater's only there one day. So they have you sing, and then they ask you to stay later to dance. Well, she had to go to her restaurant job at 4:30, and she had to make a choice. Do I call out of my restaurant job, or do I leave this audition and not get an acting gig? And she had to leave. And it's just, how would you feel, right? Like you're like that close to the job and then you had to leave. Like it's like the roller coaster and let down. Like it's like, oh, I get it. Maybe get it. They want me. And I can't even go. Like it's just, it's so hard. And I don't want people to have that, you know, oh, I'm just a waiter, or, oh, I'm just temping, or, oh, I'm just doing this now. And it's, having a survival job, having financial security is actually smart, and it actually gives you freedom. So I want them to think of it that way. Mm-hmm. I think that might help.
Yeah, definitely. Are there, so beyond looking at your site, are there other resources, but either financial or otherwise, that you utilize that you would encourage other actors for financial literacy and other things? How do you approach that?
I mean, I love David Bach, The Automatic Millionaire. He has a great, I guess, pedestrian way to talk about finances.
Okay.
Also, Susie Orman has fantastic books as well. she has, there's like a Young, Broke, and Fabulous book, mm-hmm. that she has that I really like. School Debt, I'm not that familiar with. And I think she does a really good job with, talking about, student loan debt. Okay. The Actors Fund has wonderful resources, and I really feel that they are, I don't know if they're under-advertised or underutilized. They have survival job seminars. They have financial seminars. They have housing seminars. There are all these housing projects in New York that are open for artists, and they tell you when the applications are open. You have to go to the seminar and learn all about it, and then you're on the mailing list. These are incredible resources that you should really check out. Oh, in the Hirschfeld Clinic, if you're in the city, they have medical resources as well. So
okay,
those are some good places to look.
Oh yeah, especially the housing. I didn't find out about that till after I had moved out of New York.
Yeah.
And I had wished, I mean, not that it mattered, because I was only in New York for a couple of years and would have missed it. Because I remember the application process was, it's like one of those things where if they lower the rent, then suddenly they make a lot of other hurdles for you to jump through. But still, the possibility to live in an amazing place at a lower rent in New York was amazing.
And they're really gorgeous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Some are really nice. So, but yeah, it's, you know, these are great resources for actors that are out there, and I feel like they should really check them out. And like AEA, there's a bulletin board outside in the lobby, and they're just, the Actors Fund just has some really great stuff you guys should, anyone should look into.
Mm-hmm. So with a lot of the things that you've done, you know, packing up from where you were an undergrad, suddenly moving to New York, and then also, you know, jumping into starting this company and this resource has to be a little bit nerve-wracking. How do you approach fear and things that when you're unfamiliar, how do you approach that and move past it?
I'm kind of crazy. I don't know. It's not that I don't care. I mean, I can't, I just do stuff. Like,
okay.
I'm an only, and I don't know. Like, I guess my parents empowered me with confidence, to just go, and it's exciting for me. Like, I want to do new things, and I want change, and I want to attack new challenges and do things. And I think that kind of didn't serve me well for the whole HO week thing. Like, I think that's why that was hard for me, because doing the exact same show 8 times a week, same moves, same choreography, like that got monotonous and boring to me.
Mm-hmm.
So like doing new things and approaching new challenges is exciting to me. And I really do credit it to, you know, as foofy as you can call the self-help movement, like, you know, The Secret and Bob Proctor and Tony Robbins, and I'm really into Chalene Johnson lately, and The Secret, like, one thing I will say, like, it's great to go and, you know, say I wish this is happening, but though I will totally steal this quote, like, the one thing that The Secret left out was take action. And you can wish and want all you want, but unless you do something about it, it's not going to change anything.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So I guess just if you really, really, really want something, just take that first step, right? Like, it doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to move to New York City tomorrow and say that you're on Broadway. Like, just, you know, take class in your city, wherever you are. Like, if you want to move to the city and if you want to become an artist, like, learn the steps that you need to go get there. Do your research. Get a couple books. Do your research. And then take that first step. And it doesn't have to be perfect. You just have to get started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very timely and fantastic advice. It was I'm always reminded of something very similar. So the same professor who told me that I should just hire an agent actually gave me some of the best advice I ever probably received, especially with the business world.
Oh yeah.
And I am somebody who overanalyzes and overthinks, and particularly first year at Yale School of Drama, you can't do that because projects are due every single week.
Oh yeah.
And so Ming looks at me and he says, Yuri, I don't care what you think anymore. Just get it down on paper so you can show it to me so I can something to talk to you about. Because it's not any good in your head. So it was
within your head,
Yeah, he just repeated it. Like, he's like, that's great. So I don't care if it's in your head. Get it down so we can talk about it.
Nice.
And that's pretty much like how I approach a lot of different things now is you can only think about it so much, but you actually have to take action and get it down and then move on from that, or you'll always just sit and spin.
And it's scary, you know, am I going to be judged? What are you going to think? Is it going to be good enough? Like, you know, all these things can creep into your head, but at the same time, it's like, it's your life. And if you have goals and you have dreams and aspirations, like, just do. Like, seriously, why do you care what other people are going to think? Oh, my God, is it the Eleanor Roosevelt quote? What is it? People think a lot less about you than you think they do, or something like.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people don't talk about you all this. Like, you think, like, oh, my God, what is so-and-so going to think? Like, people probably don't care about what you're doing as much as you think they care about what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So if you want to do something, like, just do it. Like, I love that quote. I'm like, that's so true. Like, why do I care what other people think? I'm, you know, so obsessed. They're too busy thinking about their own life to be thinking about me. People are too self-obsessed to be thinking about, oh, what's Michelle going to do? Does she think she's so-and-so? No, they don't care. They don't care about me. They've got their own lives to deal with.
Oh, yeah. That is so very true.
I got to get that quote. It's an amazing quote.
It's absolutely a great quote. Actually, I have to look it up, too. So if there was somebody right now, let's say graduating from college,
mm-hmm.
or let's say entering college, mm-hmm. what advice would you give them on what they should do, like before, like during college, and like mm-hmm. a few steps after college?
I would say, and CCM wrote this in their audition materials, right? Mm-hmm. So since I college conservatory music, don't be vanilla. I always thought that I needed to be the pretty little long brown hair, curly hair soprano. I had to go in there like sweet and nice, right? Like be this type to get a job because that's what I thought other people wanted. And they don't want vanilla. There are 200 girls in New York that look exactly like I do, that sing exactly like I do, that dance exactly like I do, that act exactly like I do. And they want to know who you are. And I have heard that so many times, Yuri. Like, I can't even tell you how many times people in audition classes have said that. Mm-hmm. I went to the Manhattan School of Music musical theater program. They told me that. Paul Gemignani, Carolyn Page, like, people told me this. And I didn't get it until now. And I don't know how to tell someone who is so impressionable, who probably just spent 4 years like trying to be molded and shaped, you know, like mm-hmm. they're doing that. It's not that they're doing it. They're not doing it spitefully. They're literally trying to help you get a job, right? Like one of the practices, like I was going through some of my papers in college and it's like, here's a casting notice, like, who write your type and who would you get cast as? Like mm-hmm. we're so used to trying to fit ourselves in boxes, right? Like,
right.
But just be you, because you can go in there, and I would go in there, sing my 16 bars. I would think I needed to hit my high note and leave, mm-hmm. but they don't care. They want to see me. What makes me different out of those 200 girls? Like, what am I going to bring to the role? What am I going to bring to the rehearsal room? What is my spirit and my vibe? And what am I going to bring to that story and that piece of art? And just be you. You are enough. And I just want people to know, have a life outside your art, and that will enhance your art, and you are enough. Be you.
Mm-hmm. No, that's wonderful and timely advice. So if the listeners want to see more of what you're working on and get a hold of you, what's the best way that they can do that?
So you can visit the website, survivaljobsforactors.com. Shoot me an email. I'd love to hear from you. What you want out of the website, like what's valuable to you. what you're looking for, what topics you would like to learn more about. Do you want to learn more about temping or office work, or, you know, help me help you, basically, right? Like, it's true. Like, what do people want to know? Like, I feel like I'm not that I've been in the weeds with it so much for the past 8 years. Like, I don't know what you don't know. So tell me so I can help you and get you answers, you know?
Yeah, though, that's fantastic. Feedback from people is always a good thing.
Yeah, and it'll just help, you know, it'll help others and it'll help broaden the resource. And yeah, so let me know what you want, because I'd love to serve you and you know, get some answers for you, so, and share them.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, again, thank you so much, Michelle, for your time. I really appreciate it. This has been fantastic.
Thanks, Ari.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.